More Morgulons is an exquisite podcast hosted by an extraordinary host. Crystal clear, beautiful, brilliant, humble. I'm here with the stories. I'm here with the investigations. I'm here with you, listener, and thank you for being here. Without you, I'm just responding to internal stimuli.
And for those of you out there pursuing treatment options with various providers out there in the community, whether they be psychiatrists, entomologists, infectious disease specialists, dermatologists, oncologists, and rheumatologists, or any other person who's not helping you, just remember this. A delusional belief is one that is fixed and unchangeable in spite of the introduction of new or better evidence. The matchbox sign is the new or better evidence. The delusional person is the doctor. Seriously, you could show up with a PowerPoint, a signed affidavit from your skin, and a fiber that spells out, "I'm real," in Morse code, and the doctor would still say, "Let's not jump to any conclusions. It could be your sweater talking." I've got nothing to prove to anyone, but I would love to know how come it is that Morgulons patients have to prove somehow that they are credible and not a liar when they report their symptoms of their condition. Can you imagine if you went into the doctor's office and were like, "I have a cough and I have been feeling very bad," and they were like, "Oh, sure you do." She's obviously faking. I mean, what? You don't even know me. To all the providers out there listening, and I know that there are none. Maybe somebody's doing a research project about delusional parasitosis. But if you are, don't do that. Don't do that. It's your job to figure out what's going on, not my job to prove to you that I'm a credible witness. Do you think I want to be here spending my hard-earned cash waiting in these little rooms to talk to somebody who's never heard of what I have or who has and has a fixed and unchangeable belief about the nature of what I have, and they think it's not real? Well, these lesions are real. This shit coming out of my skin is real. You think that we've had mass hysteria for like 25 years now? I mean, what the fuck? How can you catch something from the internet if you don't even know what it is until you go on the internet and find out that there's a bunch of other people that are having crazy shit happen to them and that apparently you have Morgulons disease? Great. This is not a foile à deux, and you need to escargot back to medical school. All right, thanks for listening. We're going to have a great episode today, and stay tuned.
PBS, like, documentary about methamphetamine, and there was the one part where this police officer had taken, he started collecting the mugshots of people that had been arrested for methamphetamine over time. He would look at the pictures of the people, and they showed, like, the series of, like, from the start, the way they looked through over the years and stuff. And these people, almost every single one of them that they showed, they all had sores around their mouth. They all had sores like that, like in the exact place, it, like here, like along the nerve paths. Like they, all of them had morgue sores on their faces. And it really makes you think, like, you know, if there is something in that supply, which is provided by China through Mexico, It would be the perfect. I mean, you know, we know in the past that like the CIA has targeted prisoners and drug addicts and prostitutes and blah 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 with different experimental things because they know that they will be discredited.
Yeah, I wonder if like there must be somebody out there that's just taking a boatload of dioxin and nothing else. It'd be interesting to see if they have any of that stuff.
Oh right, like the prescription unadulterated kind.
The presumption being, yeah, it's not.
Well, you know that GlaxoSmithKline, the company that now owns all of our genetic data, they're the ones that first marketed methamphetamine as benzedrine, a nasal decongestion. So I would think that
the other, like the L4 or whatever,
like methamphetamine.
But the L isomer, isn't that, that's what, like the levometh?
Well, methamphetamine, like before it was illegal and stuff like that.
But that is, I think it was methamphetamine that's in, like, Sudafed or whatever.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean,
it's just the other side of the mirror.
I'm reading these stories from years ago on the Morgulons Research Foundation, the the one that Mary Latos made, you know? And these stories are just crazy. Like, I mean, let me read you this one that really resonated with me.
She also has some early blood work that shows that she's developed anti-nuclear antibodies in her blood.
She find that, like, she starts feeling weird and they find ANA. Okay, here we go. Dana, our family has been fighting this illness for several years now. It began with overwhelming fatigue and a blood test that revealed ANAs slowly progressing to the full list of symptoms and from me to the rest of my family. I underwent psychiatric testing and the MMPI revealed no psychiatric pathologies. However, the IQ test I took revealed a significant decline from an earlier test as a teenager from 140 to 125. I have been unable to find or afford a physician who will treat me for anything other than psychiatric issues and asthma, so I've placed myself on oxytetracycline intended to treat cattle. This does the bare minimum to keep me upright and functioning while I continue to have more progressive signs of organ involvement, particularly heart, lungs. I have petechia arising in scattered patches, shortness of breath that seem to originate around my lungs rather than in them, unexplained bruising on calves, and episodes of tachycardia, in addition to the common Morgellons symptoms. In the last 2 months, I have lost nearly 20 pounds and struggled to maintain my weight at 110 pounds. My vision is affected by floaters that do not go away but slowly increase in size and number, swelling around the eyes that causes blurred or double vision and photophobia. I wake up every day with my eyes, face, and neck swollen and feeling very foggy or confused until I've taken enough ibuprofen to decrease the swelling. I do not know for sure, but it seems like the swelling may be very close to or in the brain, and this is the cause of the fogginess. We are desperate for answers. As if this has an end stage, then I'm approaching it. Please use my story in any way necessary to further aid in this matter. It doesn't say, but these are all from previous to 2014.
That sounds like, I was going to say, it's like maybe your kidneys are bad. And she's taking ibuprofen and I thought of that thing, she's feeding it, making the kidneys.
But she's already been to the doctor. It's not, by the way, kidneys have nothing to do with
ANA or Morgellons.
Well, I mean, maybe, but I was possibly, thinking more of the brain.
Right, but this one is, all these stories are so familiar. Jenny, California. Morgellons disease is real. It needs to be studied. My life is normal now, but there was a time when I knew I was dying a slow death, and I actually welcomed the end of the suffering I endured for an entire year of my life. I have suffered greatly from this disease. I am free of it for the most part now, but a year of my life was literally taken away from me while I suffered in misery and pain. I don't know what it is. The black specks seem like they could easily be bacterial, such as spores or parasitic or both. The stinging sensations could logically be accounted for by something bacterial. I can say this, though. My boyfriend and I both had it. He went to his primary care physician and they swabbed one of his sores. We were both covered with these. His result came back as being an arthropod bite reaction. His doctor said that could mean anything, like that he was simply bitten or that he ate shrimp and was allergic. Seeing as how both of us had these and neither one of us are allergic to seafood of any kind, it's a logical assumption that these possibilities did not really apply to the situation we were dealing with. I also had a swab taken and was told that the bacteria from the sample was found to be resistant against just about everything with the exception of Cipro in large dosage. So that's what he prescribed for me along with some external medicine. I can attest that the feeling of malaise is very extreme. The fatigue is overwhelming. The sting and the inflammatory reaction that is caused by these things is excruciating. Eventually, a sufferer will start to fear effects on the nervous system. Doctors make it even more of a living nightmare to the point that people suffering would just rather die. This is literally what the sickness, along with how the doctors treat people who are infected, does. I was told I had impetigo week after week until I demanded that someone explain to me how that could even be physically possible to have a never-ending case of impetigo. Finally, I ended up being diagnosed with delusional parasitosis. The people who I depended on 100% to try to help me turned out to make my life 30 times more miserable than it had already become. My hair started coming out in gobs. My beautiful face was hideous. The stinging got worse. My shower scrunchies were literally inundated with black and blue specks. All I know is once I moved out of that apartment, I break out every once in a while and it's never gone away completely. However, it's somewhat manageable now. The attacks are acute versus chronic and the condition is no longer completely debilitating to me like it once was. Every 6 months, I self-medicate with large doses of Cipro for 1 to 2 weeks and an antiparasitic medication that can only be taken 1 to 2 times yearly. Anyway, ivermectin. Please help me to find the cause of this painfully debilitating and depressing disease. Something desperately needs to be done to identify exactly what this is, and change needs to be implemented in the medical community as to how people that are truly sick and need medical attention are treated. It's an absolutely inexcusable and horrific ordeal to be put through by the very people you are depending on to help you, only to be treated like a person having, quote, delusions. Children and infants have been infected. People literally do lose their sanity in a way. Fatigue and malaise and brain fog and stinging pain and horrible ugly sores with black things, and doctors humoring and acting condescendingly like this is all very sad mental problem that is pitiful and requires antidepressants and a dose of reality, while the infected person is worrying about what the heck is happening physically and mentally and emotionally and dropping out of society due to being exhausted and in pain and looking like a leper and worrying about infecting other people. It is enough to finally break a person who most likely was used to a normal life of health, work, school, social life, and who could never have imagined something so graphic, morbid, scary, and surreal happening to them. I pray continually to God to comfort those who are suffering the way I once did, and that this nightmarish sickness will be given enough attention that the medical and scientific communities will stop this adamant laziness and do the necessary research needed to identify it, and that eventually there will be a treatment available to those in need.
I mean, yeah, so like, there's not been, like, nobody's, like, even studying it at all.
Nope, nobody is. The people that are, you know, in the other Charles Holman, like, they're getting all this money. What are they doing? I mean, they haven't published a study. They did one case study, like, 2 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Judith, California. My elderly parents and I contracted this disease from a, quote, new puppy. We thought he had fleas. The vet said that it wasn't fleas, but some kind of mites. Yeah, he tried everything and couldn't make him well. He was euthanized. While we treated him for mites, we all contracted them. We all have immune deficiency problems, and they literally took over our bodies. We had open lesions that would not heal, and we had crawling sensations all over our bodies. We started having thread-like particles come out of our pores, and as they did, they stung. We would feel the stinging or biting almost all the time. I had to take mom and dad to urgent care and then to the hospital for help. I went to the hospital in Apple Valley for the second time when I had large, unhealing lesions. The doctor said he knew how to treat it and prescribed psychotic medication. He felt it was all in my head, even though he could see the lesions. I understand that he probably thought the lesions were results of self-mutilation. I am 66 years old, have a college grade point average of 4.0, and will be graduating from college in June with an AA in business administration. I also have my paralegal certificate and will have my bookkeeping certificate this April. I am not stupid or paranoid. I have gone from a primary care doctor to a skin specialist to a dermatologist. No one really knows what this is. My primary care doctor has tried to help me, but no one really knows what to do about this. It is easier for them to say I am psychotic than to take the time to find out what it is and to treat it adequately. In the interest of other people, I stay away from them so they won't get these. I was not able to go to a grandson's college graduation, two grandchildren's graduations, the birth of a new grandchild, and two great-grandchildren. I had to stop going to classes at college and quit teaching Bible study at church in the interest of protecting others. One of my granddaughter had leukemia and had a compromised immune system too. This has been going on for over 2 years. The medical profession has got to get interested in helping the thousands of people who have this disease. It is painful, isolating, and can be depressing. If I didn't have faith in God, I would have given up at the height of this event. Hope would have disappeared. This is another one. Arlene, California. On March 12th, it will have been exactly 5 years that I've been living with this affliction. The first 6 months was like living in a Stephen King horror film, and I was the star, surrounded by things biting at me, getting into my skin and producing more of themselves and coming out of my pores. Having the house fumigated again and again did nothing to kill them. It finally became impossible to live in my house. Almost worse than the affliction was the behavior of the doctors I called on to help. They listened to my story, looked at my rashes, cavalierly gave quick shrift to my samples, and declared me to be delusional, and sometimes worse. One university entomologist rudely asked if I saw mosquitoes flying through walls. After 6 months of a living hell, I finally met a dermatologist who believed me. She tried several methods to rid me of these things, which worked temporarily, but the disease returned even more determined. Having given up, she sent me to someone she referred to as a genius who cures those patients she can. He was an Oriental medicine doctor, a Dutch Jew, who did his, quote, Oriental thing and made a formula which remarkably stopped the comings and goings of these things in 4 days. I have recently learned of others through friends and neighbors aware of my plight who are suffering. One actress was unable to attend the Golden Globe for which she and her husband had invitations due to the terrible rashes on her face and body. I know about those. They are nothing short of horrendous. The itch is unbearable, and the lack of being able to control things in one's own body could drive a person crazy, in which case the smug, arrogant, and insensitive doctors would ultimately be right. We'd end up crazy, or their word, delusional. This is an interesting one that reminds me of Dorcas's feet. Hell in New York. I am suffering terribly at this time as I am not able to be comfortable within my own skin, literally, and my body. My family and I reside on Long Island, New York. 1 year ago, from this past summer, the soles of my feet began to itch terribly, nonstop, each and every night.
As fall arrived, I began to feel something different also quite often. A creepy crawler feeling was occurring under the skin of the soles of my feet and my scalp, usually at the same time. It was something that I had never felt before. Worried, I made an appointment to see a dermatologist. My visit was somewhat strange. I was told from across the room very quickly by the doctor that my feet had psoriasis and that as far as the thinning of my hair, I needed to see an endocrinologist. My quote, creepy crawler comment basically seemed to be ignored. I was given a script for psoriasis for my feet, which did nothing at all for me. Dissatisfied with this visit of 5 minutes or so, I sought another dermatologist. With the same complaints given, I was told I had dry feet, a normal amount of hair, and that the crawler feeling most likely was from sensitive nerve endings. I mentioned that I had cats and I felt maybe I had some sort of mites causing the problem. She said, try moisturizer for my feet and gave me nothing for my head symptoms and said to come back if needed. I needed to go back as my symptoms only progressed. I practically forced a script for permethrin cream from the doctor, went home and did the treatment. Can't use above the neck, she said. So I was over the counter for that, as she had told me. I used lice shampoo and the permethrin to no avail. I sort of gave up for a bit, not knowing what to do next as symptoms persisted, and now I have some nodules under the skin of my scalp too. Spring arrived, and systematically I was feeling not well and very fatigued. I began to get some itchy bite marks now on various parts of my body that looked like sores and that sometimes gave a biting feeling from under my skin. I went back to the dermatologist, who now believed I might have a parasite of some sort, and she gave me ivermectin. It didn't help me. Parasitic testing came up negative, as did a biopsy punch done into one of the lesions on the nape of my neck. I was told by this dermatologist that she could only help check for skin infection and give me topicals for itching for my skin, and I should go to an infectious disease doctor for my now weight loss of 30 pounds, gastrointestinal complaints, sinus problems, edema at times, and the now multiple lesions on my body that bite from under with a quick sting, itched and burned at times. Infectious disease, however, declined to see me since all prior tests were negative, blood work, stool samples, etc. I went back to my primary doctor, who blatantly looked me in the eye and coldly stated, I can't help you. As I am trying to move this along here, I will tell you that since the spring, I had realized from my trying to research and diagnose this problem on my own, since symptoms were rapidly progressing without any beneficial help from doctors I've seen thus far, that I fit Morgellons symptoms. Even my experience with doctors matched incredibly others with these symptoms. I actually have asked my dermatologist fairly recently, as this horrific syndrome has become more media exposed, if she knows of it, and she said she knew of what I spoke and said that unfortunately there is no specific protocol of how to treat it since symptoms of sufferers are of a commonality, but within that commonality, the symptoms are widely varied. So not true, according to the CDC, and she added, if this does indeed exist. So to bring this letter current, I would like to say that I am on my own to try to do what I can to tolerate the following painful. So some painful sores that seem to have fibers within them that seem to move within and at times out of these lesions, hair that may be fiber, nodules with extremely painful sores present on my scalp, and to withstand a never ending battle by my own body. My hair is now extremely thin, and I'm not sure if it even is hair any longer, as it now has bizarre characteristics since my scalp symptoms have worsened drastically. I'm at a loss as what to do from here, other than to try antibiotics and dewormers that I must attain myself. The presence of this inescapable nightmare, Morgellons disease, consumes and destructs my life now as it tortures me each and every day and night with its horrific dermal and systematic existence in my body. The three other family members of my household also are suffering, as halfway through the progression of my symptoms, they also began to present with similar symptoms. Each day we pray that something will be done to help us and others to be rid of this so as to gain our health, peace of mind and body, and our lives back again. Morgellons disease has taken these things away by the immense inhumane suffering it causes as it flourishes unchecked within us. A cure must be sought and found for our sake here in New York, the sake of other sufferers everywhere and all mankind. Immediately, please. This one is interesting too. Artie, New York. My name is Artie. I'm 47 and grew up and live in Queens, New York. Notice that these are all New York and California back in the day. I own a pest control business, and up until the summer of 2004, all was great, really great. Then the classic symptoms started, slow and local at first, mainly a crawling sensation around my face. I thought I had caught scabies. Little did I know, it was the end of my old peaceful life. Today I exist. With limited space to write, I'll get to the damage done. For almost 2 3/4 long years, this disease has spread throughout my entire body. I see a therapist and must take sleeping medication or I lay in agony. Anxiety runs my life. My hands are the most infected, and I wake each day to hands so painful it feels as if they are in boiling water. I run to the sink, and cool water eases the pain after 10 minutes. I have lost all my interest in dreams and have no hope of finding another girlfriend. I'm widowed. My business is sinking fast and bills are killing me. I feel bites have black, green, and red fibers coming up from small welts that come from below. I have been to 27 doctors, dermatologists, travel doctors, ERs, and 6 New York City hospitals, including New York Skin and Cancer. The 2 doctors actually got mad for wasting their time. I walked out and wanted to step in front of a truck and almost did. I have lost my friends and my family thinks I'm crazy. My own mother, quote, doesn't want to hear it. I spend about $40 a week on laundry. Can't wear anything twice or the bites start. Clean sheets every other night and I shower twice a day and still have a fuzzy feeling. I can't think straight. I forget everything. I've gone through 9 pocket microscopes and have tried to figure out what's happening to me. But with ignorant, pompous doctors, it's probably going to be discovered after some high-profile people mandate a study and hopefully a cure. I exist a day at a time, and as my self-created business slowly dies, I feel like I'm going the same way. Cure or not, I will never again think of doctors as gifted people, for they turned their backs and left me in a dark nightmare, totally hopeless. Yes, folks, this disease is very nasty, spreading fast, and it may be knocking on your door very soon, for nobody is safe, and due to the ignorance of the medical community, a cure seems far off. This is interesting, too. Judy, New York. In 1990, while living in Aromas, California, near San Jose, I contracted a disease different from any previous condition, which I've never gotten rid of and which has never been diagnosed, despite numerous consultations with physicians and specialists over the years. For the first 12 years, the disease was characterized by burning, stinging, and bleeding of my nasal passages and sinuses, accompanied by constantly feeling sick, night sweats, aching joints, and an almost overwhelming brain fog and mental and physical weakness. Exhaustion doesn't describe the demoralizing and incapacitating nature of the feeling. I pretty much just existed for a decade of my life. My situation is complicated by IgA, IgG2, and possibly IgE deficiencies. Whenever I catch an upper respiratory infection, my condition progresses to bacterial overgrowth, at which point I can convince my physicians to prescribe Biaxin, the only oral antibiotic I have found effective. This pretty much alleviates my symptoms, which return when the course of Biaxin is finished. I discussed with various physicians the possibility of an antibiotic rinse that could be used all the time, but was told that none existed. In 2002, while living in Rochester, New York, an ENT here suggested rinsing with a Bactroban solution. Twice daily rinses have improved my quality of life tremendously, although I still have burning and bleeding of my nasal passages and feel sick when not on Biaxin. I am much better able to function. After using Bactroban for 2 years and still having CAT scans showing acute sinus disease, I have had my second sinus surgery. The surgeon's evaluation after the image-guided procedure was that my lower sinuses were essentially finally clear, but that the sinus and nasal epidermis was inflamed and bled easily wherever touched, and that he did not know the cause or treatment for this painful situation. I suffer from much more frequent and severe respiratory infections than before I contracted this unidentified condition. I was recently diagnosed with moderate pulmonary obstructive disease and bronchiectasis, a condition rare in this country except in people with cystic fibrosis or suffering from poverty and lack of medical care. The pulmonologist, like most physicians I have seen, was scornful of my assertion that I have an ongoing condition since it is of unknown cause and my white blood cell count and sed rate are usually in the normal range. I am a plant pathologist with a background in microbiology and access to a microscope. Over the years, I have attempted to identify something microscopically in my nasal secretions which might explain my condition and have routinely found blue, clear, and red non-septate fibers and round brown or black structures and alternaria spores and have not been able to convince any physician to examine this material. An overheard conversation in 2006 regarding a non-healing lesion from which blue fibers emerged led me to investigate the description of Morgellons disease, and I feel that I do have some form of this disease. Yeah. This one says, Laurie. I know. Laurie, New York. I'm a professional woman who has continued to work and yet suffered for the last 10 years with what I know is Morgellons disease. This has not been easy. I've changed doctors, been to 5 dermatologists, and finally thought I may be crazy, as they told me I was. I was told by one dermatologist to see a psychiatrist and by another that he had no idea what I had. The scars, lesions, and sores that don't heal for a very long time are real. Doctors, family, friends, employers, and general people see them. I brought samples of fiber from my skin and hair in to be examined. I have had a punch biopsy done, and guess what? A hair-like fiber was the culprit. I have copied Morgellons material and given it to the doctor, and they act like they never read it or pay any real attention to the symptoms, etc. I've wasted money and time to be told I'm imagining what is truly happening. A coworker of mine came to work one day and said he saw something on CNN about a new disease described Morgellons. I stood and said nothing. I don't want to be deemed crazy by persons who respect me. I can tell you more of the suffering and pain, the embarrassment of sores and continual spots and tiredness I feel. The best thing I ever found was the Morgellons Foundation. My daughter in Florida found it by accident. She had heard my descriptions via phone and what was happening to me and called me with the website. Thank God she believed me and knew I wasn't crazy. Why does the medical field deny this horrible disease? please pay attention because it exists and someone in your family may contract it next. It's not a disease you can discuss with friends, employers, or doctors. You got it. You go it alone and hope your family doesn't have to endure what you do. You often don't sleep. You often can't think, and you try your own remedies. I'm willing to go public if I feel I have backing. I cannot afford to have people think I'm crazy in my profession. Thank you for the opportunity to express myself. And by the way, I've donated to Oklahoma Research to help with this disease. Please know it is real. I mean, this just, every story is just so...
Why is that, like, out of all the things, like people think, like, I don't know, chronic fatigue syndrome might not be real, and chronic Lyme, but why do they always, like, but they don't give them, like, a hard time, like, they're not, yeah, they're not, like, treated like they're...
Yeah, why?
Like, it's like, yeah, the more
it doesn't matter who you are.
Or something.
Yeah.
Or more.
I mean, and this one I've heard over and over again. The lady that was just on my show most recently, Sarah, who had her child taken away from her, basically related to the Morgellons thing. This is a story of a lady in South Carolina lost custody of her son after he began exhibiting symptoms of Morgellons. I mean, I've heard that from women multiple times, like that they're hospitalized and on like a involuntary hospitalized, and then they lose their children. I mean, that's just, can you imagine?
Yeah. I mean, you wonder, well, yeah, like what are they leaving off? Like, is the meth involved in that?
Well, this says, like, this says, okay, I finally felt months of no symptoms. I finally found a compassionate doctor that cannot fix Morgellons, but he doesn't think I'm a nut. He saw the fiber in my hand after I said hello to him for the first time. My son was ripped from me and sent to my parents while I was in hell with this Morgellons. Alone, I was bombarded with doctors calling me crazy, the Department of Social Services claiming I harmed my son. I made sure to get a court-appointed attorney while I did everything social services asked me to do. Drug tests, parenting classes, anger management, the whole works. All testing came back that I was okay. I knew I was, and found a compassionate doctor who gave me antibiotics and a kind smile. This war for my family began in August, but my hell with Morgellons has been 2 years going to date. The most horrifying thing in all this is that my son, now 13 years old, is showing many signs of Morgellons. The sores, the itching, fatigue to the point he would fall asleep in class, and his teeth rotting out of his head. Now that was blamed on me, and neglect was on the judge's lips when she got a dental report. As soon as my son was taken, I began to do whatever it took to get better. I kept doing what I had learned from other Morgellons people to get me better. I became so well that when it came time to go to court, I looked so good that three people asked me if I was an attorney. I could walk for the first time in years without a cane, my thinking and speech were normal, and I was beyond better, not cured, but this was so sweet. Phew, I'm the old gal again, but the court visit was beyond heart-wrenching. I used to be so frail I could hardly walk. He used to look like a cancer survivor with leprosy, who was losing weight faster than an anorexic could and was barely 118 pounds and dying in August, was now at 140 pounds. Knockout looks back in a mind that was sharper than attack. Even the attorney was stunned at the transformation. It's not just the antibiotic. I've changed everything about me here. The products I used to clean with no chemicals, the supplements and more, and I'm on a fixed income, so it wasn't expensive. After she started, the judge said to me that I was doing a great job taking care of me, but the dental report showed neglect, and this is all I stayed to hear. I knew my son was not coming home. The judge had no idea what I used to look like, so she could not see the transformation, and I knew my son was not coming home. I mean, she was having to take drug tests, so it's kind of like, you know, you don't really know, but here's the thing, though, like, there are plenty of, this is another one. This is an infectious disease physician for Monterey County examined the fiber-like filaments, quote, lymph balls, and seed-like black granules that exit from the non-healing lesions and determined I was not delusional. Although ignorant about Morgellons, he prescribed a low dose of daily antibiotics that helped the severity of many debilitating symptoms. So I am left disabled by nearly total loss of vision in one eye, extreme pain in most joints, slow mental processing, and overwhelming fatigue. I am hopeful, blah, 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 blah. Which I've heard another person who say she's lost her vision in one eye as well. Tongo, he's blind now.
That is when my eyes started getting really bad, which I didn't know what was the chicken and what was the egg, though, to be honest, because I always thought the vision was part of my problem, but I don't know. Yeah, it is, like, I don't understand, though, it's not just doctors, I guess, but I mean, what is the... I've heard about people like saying, okay, well, here's a microscope. We'll look at it together.
I've never heard of that. Where have you ever heard of that?
There's like medical shows I've found that that's what they say they do. But here's the thing, like, it's very rare. Like, whatever the case, it doesn't happen often. And one guy was even an entomologist doctor, like turned doctor. But anyway, like, that to me would be very valuable, for me at least. Like, I would think that, like, that's all I really wanted. But here's my question is, like, for most people, would that even be enough? Like, is there...
Like, I don't think that, like, here's the thing, like, an entomologist is not going to know anything about, let's say, lignin, you know, conductive hydrogels. Like, that's the problem. Like, as soon as you,
well,
like...
they're dermatologists and they have, like, well, I mean...
But here's the thing, like, as soon as you have something that's a technology that is not inside the realm of expertise of anyone who studies so bugs...
They're a medical doctor, like dermatologist.
Let's say that you got a material scientist.
But in addition, they have an expertise, like, or a team.
You would need somebody who is a technology expert.
And then that would be enough, you think?
Well,
for people, if they said, I don't see anything, or this is, here's how I explain what you're
saying. I think that if you, for instance... You know, many times I've looked at my skin, and whether it's under a microscope or not, something that is a foreign object seems to come out or be embedded in the skin, right? One of these characteristic things, if this were taken and a team of experts that were, you know, like, not just medical experts, but I'm talking military experts. I'm talking, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you name your team. Like,
yeah, you name the team. I feel absolutely positive that they would find something. If they didn't, well, then you got to start looking at other explanations. You know, I mean, like, clearly, like, there is a chance, of course, that, you know, sometimes hundreds of people can look at the same thing and get it wrong. We know that throughout medical history, you know?
I'm just asking, like, so this is like we're really stretching, like, the whole, we're, like, basically saying anything you want, you got it, we'll look at it. Like, but if they still come up negative, if it's still not believed, and the explanation is, well...
Well, what is the explanation then of the lesions that spontaneously erupt and the foreign materials? Well, like, what is the explanation?
Well, that actually, so.
Like, that's important.
I was going to mention that in a second, but, like, first, the idea of thinking, then that kind of puts the doctors in an impossible place, too. But getting to that second part, and I do think this is the important thing, it's. And this is more important than even all of the experts and stuff, but just having maybe one guy that's very experienced and saying, telling you what those things are, saying, no, it's not a morgue, that is a this, and telling you why he knows it's that, and it's a benign thing.
Right, okay, so let's say...
That to me would be the most valuable of all.
Sure, it would be, but...
Because you're right, you'd have to explain it somehow. We're both looking at this.
Yeah, thing, like, there is something embedded in my skin, and like, it looks like a string, or it looks like a glitter, or whatever. Yeah. So you can't just, like, say that's in my mind. It's not. We can both see it. Like,
right, and then they would shrug it off as, like, that's the important part. Don't shrug that off. Like,
that's critical. You still haven't explained why something is not just present on top of my skin, but is embedded underneath layers of skin. Skin doesn't form from, like, the top down. You know what I'm saying? It's forming from the bottom up. So it's like that is very odd to me that you can have strings of different colors coming out of your skin embedded, like they're almost like hairs growing out, but they're not hairs. They look like textiles, you know? And I would also need to see, like, okay, if this is normal to have environmental, you know, just like whatever, like little pieces of fuzz or something, if that's normal, then why is it A, that I all of a sudden notice this just, you know, like, and it never happened before? And B, if you take 100 people that think that they don't have morgellons or never heard of it, do they have embedded strings under their skin?
That's an important one. And the impression I get is, based on the people that have had it and then looked at their friends and then they say, they don't know they have Morgulons, but they do, tells me that it might be on everybody. But
I don't think so. I don't think so. Because, like, first of all, like, you know, there's a difference between, like, a lesion versus, like, just some dust on your skin. Like, I'm talking about lesions that are, like, woven with, like, these, like, incredibly intricate knotted up fibers and hair-looking things and, like, lesions. Like, things that just erupt. Like, remember that one time I was at your house and all of a sudden there was just a thing on my arm and then there was an antenna, like, sticking out of it, you know? Like, it was just, like, sticking straight up out of the thing.
Yeah. No, there's things that appear weird. For sure.
Plus, I've seen feathers grow out of my skin and string, like, out of my, with my very eyes. Like, you know, it's, I've seen so many things that there's, it would be very.
Yeah, like, realistically, you have to get stuff that you can actually show them in the visit.
True, like, yeah. But here's the thing, like, I don't think that this is, I think it's something that causes a medical problem, but it's not something that any medical doctor would have expertise around. Like, there's no reason to go to a doctor. They don't know any more than you do,
Well,
all they can tell you is that it's not a disease.
I think.
Because it's not a disease they recognize.
See, I still think, like, an experienced, somebody that uses that dermoscope, like, all day, all along, and they've seen, like, a lot of stuff, that a lot of the stuff, they could probably say, oh, yeah, that, I see that all the time, that is, believe it or not, that's just oil from, or whatever, like, and they could maybe show you pictures of all, like, that's possible. Like, you don't get that stuff in the books, because the books clean up that stuff so much, but we want to see the non. Like,
no, I don't think so.
That could happen, not for everything, but...
Well, no,
but
I mean, it doesn't, though, because... That
experience of a dermatologist. That
would, right, but here's the thing, like, it doesn't happen. Like, there aren't people who have strings embedded in their skin. That's not normal. Like, it's just not. That's why you never see it in dermatology books. Like... You know, even the CDC study, they have pictures of the strings embedded in people's skin, and they show the pictures because they're saying this is the abnormal pathology that people are pointing to.
Yeah, like I said, not for everything, but I think some of the stuff, like, I don't think you could look at somebody's skin with a dermoscope and not see things that seem odd. And I think they're also going to be a great variety. Like, mine and yours look
different. I just disagree. I don't think that most people, when they look through a dermatoscope, see a glitter and strings embedded in their clean skin. I think that is anomalous. And I think
they would. That would. But that's something we could answer. That's a very easy empirical. We could just get...
Yeah, it is. And I think that, like, it would be...
And I think that...
You know, and here's the other thing. Like, you know, when... For instance, the Randy Weimar, you know, like, when he's, like, encountering this for the first time and he goes to the Oklahoma Tulsa Police Department and they're like, we don't know what these are. And they run them through the FBI database, which that FBI database is extensive. Like, it has hundreds of thousands of every fiber you can imagine. And it didn't match anything.
I got it. That story, like, I would like to... I'm suspicious of that. That account gets cited.
Well, I
so
was
much.
Too, but the actual guy at the police department, I have heard him on ABC News, like, quoted on. There are multiple people that confirm that story. Speaking of, what the fuck is happening with my leg right now? All right, listeners, thank you for tuning in, dropping out, and getting Morgs. No, just kidding. You already probably had a Morgulon. Sorry about that. That sucks. This conversation and many others will continue. There will be more stories. If you're enjoying the show, please go on the platform that you listen to the show through and leave a review. Something along the lines of, Crystal Clear is an international sex symbol, more funny than any human being or cyborg on the face of the planet or other planets. I give it 5 stars, etc., etc., etc. Now, we're going to have a lot of good episodes coming this season. I'm cooking some stuff up in my crazy kitchen. All right, I hope you'll stay tuned and check them out. Thanks for listening.